The Insolence of Office, written by Soft But Gremlin, and read by Lattice Frames. Summary. It takes several missions before Cody realizes that the obnoxious Jedi that Obi-Wan is always complaining about, and the mysterious stranger that keeps showing up to cause problems, are, in fact, the same person. Quinlan Vos is a strange Jedi. Entertaining to witness, sure, but strange. The first time Cody met Quinlan Vos, he was clinging to Obi-Wan like a static-charged balloon on hair. Literally. Sir? Cody asked. Pay no attention, Obi-Wan said stiffly. It was hard to do anything but pay attention. There was a full-grown human, or near about, clinging to Obi-Wan's back. The person's legs were practically criss-crossed Jogan sauce around his waist, their arms were around his shoulders, and their face was buried into his back.
Are they okay? Cody asked. If need be, Bones can be up here with a stretcher in 3.5 minutes.
He's not injured, Obi-Wan said. Ignore him. It's normal. Cody was a good soldier. He also did not want to get involved in whatever the hell this was. He ignored it. On out loud comms, anyway.
Do you think we should get Bones anyway? Waxer asked on the in buckets.
No. The general's only an idiot about his own health, Boyle answered. It's probably some Jedi ritual or something.
I've seen Tano and Skywalker do practically the same thing, Wooly said dryly. It's how Jedi say hello to their friends.
It is not, Cody said. Obi-Wan had given them a dry look at that point, as though he could tell what they were talking about, and all four of them shut up. Cody had gone about his normal duties, and the next time he'd seen the general, the other person was gone. The stranger didn't show up to the mess tent that night either, and he didn't see him at any point during camp breakdown or return to the ship. Eventually, he decided that the stranger had probably been an odd but friendly local. Force knows Obi-Wan tended to collect them anytime they were planetside. Cody put it out of his mind. It was none of his business. The second time Cody met Quinlan Vos, it was the middle of the night cycle aboard the Negotiator, and Cody had actually been looking for Obi-Wan. Both of them were supposed to be on night shift, but Cody hadn't seen Obi-Wan at all, and he needed some flimsy work signed off on. He'd searched practically everywhere that he'd usually find the General, to no luck, and finally resigned himself to knocking on the door to the General's quarters. Someone answered the door. It was not the General. The stranger was a tan human, or maybe near human, with black hair that fell in locks around his shoulders, and a yellow tattoo across his nose that stood out brightly in the sharp light of the hallway. He was wearing Obi-Wan's clothes, a pair of beige pants and one long-sleeved white tunic tied very loosely. Black gloves were wrapped around Obi-Wan's favorite mug, full of tea, and the stranger's expression was one of mild confusion before almost immediately morphing into a smug smirk.
"Well, hello there," the man said. Cody felt his cheeks heat up in embarrassment and a surprising amount of dismay, both of which he immediately compartmentalized away in favor of professionalism.
"My apologies," he said. "I was looking for General Kenobi."
"What for?"
"Flimsy work," Cody said.
He wasn't going to explain any further to someone he didn't know the rank of, or even whether they were part of the military. He also wasn't going to ask any questions. The less he knew about this, the better. The stranger frowned in confusion.
"It's like 2 in the morning, man."
"We're both supposed to be on night shift," Cody said.
"Ah," the stranger said. "Well, Kenobi's not available at the moment, but I can forge his signature pretty well, if you want."
"I'm pretty sure that's illegal," Cody said.
The stranger shrugged. "I mean, only if you get caught. Kenobi and I have forged each other's signatures on things plenty of times."
"I'll just come back later," Cody said, turning to leave.
"What's the rush, trooper? Stay and chat," the stranger said.
"I have work to do."
"And it'll still be there at 3 a.m., the stranger said.
"Come gossip with me. Tell me about Commander Cody. I haven't had a chance to meet him yet."
By the Force.
What about him?
Cody asked, turning back with resignation. Is he good?
At what?
His job.
I would say so, yes.
Cody said. He could always be better, but Cody was well aware he was better at his job than most of his Natborn superiors. Maybe not Obi-Wan. Not anymore. But he certainly was when this war had started. Obi-Wan had a dedication, though, that brought him up to speed quickly enough. And what he hadn't learned from dedicated study and learning from his men, well, experience quickly caught him up. He and Kenobi work well together?
Yes.
Do they like each other?
It would seem so,
Cody said, wondering what this whole interrogation was about.
Yeah. Do they like each other?
Cody shifted into a parade rest and played stupid.
You already asked that question.
He was not going to play these sorts of games with Obi-Wan's lover. It was not happening.
Oh, come on, man.
It's not like I've got any stake in the bet. I learned my lessons about betting on Obi-Wan a decade ago. I just want information for information's sake. Cody noticed that he'd switched to Obi-Wan now, rather than Kenobi.
I think you'd have to ask that question to the general himself, he said.
The stranger gave a dramatic sigh, and then opened his mouth to say something else, but...
What are you doing on my ship?
Kenobi, how's it going? The stranger said. Obi-Wan gave the stranger a pointed glare, and Waxer trailed behind him, glancing uncertainly between the three of them.
Sir,
Cody greeted, handing over the datapad once Obi-Wan had approached. Obi-Wan automatically tended to the paperwork and handed it back. Then he noticed what the stranger was wearing and raised an eyebrow. The stranger shrugged. My clothes were covered in all sorts of poodoo. I figured you'd rather me not get your couch filthy, and your tunics are softer than mine. Cody was starting to think he'd misjudged the situation.
What are you doing on my ship?
Obi-Wan asked again, in the long-suffering tone that Cody usually heard him use with Anakin. Gossiping, mostly.
About what?
Wouldn't you like to know? The stranger said airily, admiring one of his gloves with false carelessness. Obi-Wan scowled at the stranger, then turned to Cody and asked pleasantly, Was there anything else you needed, Commander? The stranger's jaw dropped in shock.
Commander? He asked.
Obi-Wan's look was perfectly neutral. This is my second in command, Commander Cody. Cody was about to be in so much poodoo. The stranger blinked long eyelashes for a few moments, dumbfounded, then he grinned. Cody did not like that grin. That grin forebode trouble.
Is that so? Well, it has been such a pleasure talking to you, Commander.
But it's really 2 a.m, and unlike Kenobi, I enjoy getting my beauty sleep. Good night. Then he turned to Obi-Wan and said something in Hattese that left Obi-Wan looking positively scandalized. And with that, the stranger shut the door and locked Obi-Wan out of his own quarters. Obi-Wan sighed irritably. I'm going to throw him out of an airlock, he muttered. Obi-Wan set off. Waxer stayed behind.
Sir?
He asked.
I don't even know,
Cody said. He went back to his duties, determined to forget about this whole thing. Cody and Rex had been doing an unscheduled check of an outpost that had unexpectedly gone dark, hoping that it didn't turn into another Rishi, when they ran into a spot of trouble. Or at least,
they thought it was going to be trouble, until a stranger in a hooded poncho got into the middle of everything.
Trog, be nice, the stranger said, and his voice seemed almost vaguely familiar. Drog, the pirate who'd been pointing a blaster in Cody's face, growled out,
To a couple of clones? Tell me why I shouldn't just wipe him out, since they couldn't stay in the brig like the others.
Because Cody is my husband, the stranger said, and Cody had to restrain himself from rolling his eyes, because that's exactly the sort of nonsense that Obi-Wan would say if he were caught in a situation like this. The stranger ignored Cody's hesitation, curling a hand in Cody's own, pulling him closer. Just close enough, in fact, for Cody's hand to brush against the stranger's hip. And his lightsaber. Cody almost laughed. Bractals of a feather and all that, he supposed. Well, the stranger said, sheepishly. Fiancé, technically, but close enough. And let me tell you, if you kill my fiancé before my wedding, I'm skinning you alive and keeping your half of the loot. That was enough to make Drog hesitate. Then he said,
They're not getting a share.
The Jedi scoffed. No shit, he said. They haven't been here since dawn loading boxes. I'm not sure my back will recover from this job. Cody lost track of the conversation for a moment as Drog complained about how poorly and haphazardly humans had evolved, realizing that the Jedi was tapping out a code against the back of his hand, in a gap where the armor didn't cover. There were the 5 pips to start a message, then B-O-M-B, a pause, then C-M-D-C-T-R, and 5 pips to end the message. Bomb. Command center. He tuned back into the conversation. Knows perfectly well how to disable the trackers on Republic ships, the Jedi was saying. And you don't need to worry about their loyalty, Drog. Cody's loyal to me, not the Republic. And if you knew anything about clones, you'd know they're far more loyal to each other than they are to any Jedi. The Little One won't tell either. Rex bristled at being called the Little One. He always had. Since the day he'd grown half a centimeter taller than Cody, he'd been lording it over him. Cody and Wolf still called him the Little One. That's what he got for being a full cycle younger than them. He was a Vodika forever, regardless of how tall he got.
Fine. Drog spat. Let's get going. We've wasted enough time here already.
He turned toward the ship and stalked off. The Jedi pulled Cody into a hug, which threw Cody off enough that he almost missed the Jedi say, Tell Kenobi he really ought to make a move before Ayla loses the bet. Then the stranger pulled back just enough to flash Cody a familiar, troublesome grin before flouncing off. Cody and Rex take care of the bomb, take care of the troopers imprisoned on their own outpost, and make a very thorough review of security measures with both the officers and the Shinies before returning to their generals. The troopers, Cody thinks, still have no idea how close they were to being another Rishi. Then his thoughts turn to the strange Jedi, and then he wonders what bet General Sakura had with his general. Obi-Wan, when Cody passes on the message, sighs and grumbles something about busybodies. Obi-Wan had been standing on the landing platform for 20 minutes. Well, standing, and then pacing, and then standing, and fidgeting, and pacing some more. Finally, Cody got sick of watching him and approached.
Sir, you seem troubled,
he said. Yes, well, Quinlan Vos has that effect, Obi-Wan said. Cody had heard tales of Quinlan Vos. Obi-Wan grouched about him every time he got a comm from the man. Anakin seemed to adore Vos, probably for the same reasons Obi-Wan hated him. Fox also griped about Vos all the time, though Cody didn't know if that was genuine hatred or grudging admiration. There was very little he heard that was flattering about Vos, but he seemed like an entertaining sort of witness.
Ah, yes, Cody said. That Jedi has quite a reputation.
Maybe overstating it, Cody, Obi-Wan said. Let's just say he's crazy. Cody spotted movement.
Ship entry from the west, sir.
The Lat-Eet approached and hovered instead of landing. Over the din of the ship, they heard a,
Hey, Kenobi,
before someone jumped out of the ship like a stupid, griffing Jedi. The Jedi did a flip on the way down, and when he stood up,
huh,
was the only thing he could think to say, because he did know Quinlan Vos. And suddenly, several things made a lot more sense. As Vos stood up, he flashed that troublesome grin at Cody.
Hey, Commander, looking good.
Then he turned to Obi-Wan, and in a perfectly genial tone,
Kenobi, you look worse for wear. How's temple life?
Obi-Wan scowled at him. Vos's grin dimmed slightly.
Good to see you too, he muttered.
Yes, well, if you could tell time half as well as you could stick a landing, we wouldn't be behind schedule, would we? Obi-Wan wasn't nearly as angry as he was pretending to be. But he was irritated. Cody could see it. Vos could see it too. Well, that's your opinion, man. Obi-Wan rolled his eyes and shook his head. Let's get down to business. Cody wasn't sure that Voss was capable of being serious. But the Jedi surprised him. Getting down to business immediately, Voss and Obi-Wan debated back and forth with the familiarity of batchmates, and within moments had each other on the same page. Finally, Voss rushed up the gangplank with a, "I'll fly, you be my co-pilot." Obi-Wan looked like there was nothing he'd rather do less.
"I was afraid he'd say that," he muttered to Cody, before sprinting up the ramp himself.
Cody allowed himself a snort of amusement before returning to the hangar. Quinlan Vos was a weird one, that's for sure. But he was right. Entertaining to witness, indeed. The end. This was part 5 of A Lightsaber and a Love Story. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed the story, you can leave feedback for the author at archiveofourown.org/works/3542949. And if you enjoyed my reading, you can leave feedback for me at archiveofourown.org/users/lattice_frames.